E-tidings, Cosmos. Good morning, 21st century world of worlds. This is Radio Richard Ireland, coming to you from within the soundproofless studio of life itself. Tá míle fáilte rót anseo. Hear this, listener, give it here your fullness of ear. From the beginning there is breath, and upon that breath there are words. If a couple were to have an argument of an eve, and it goes on unresolved into their sleeping, and still it is with them when they awake come the dawn. Now say one of them goes off to work the next morning, while the other has to remain at home. There is this to be kept in mind. The one who has to remain at home all day long until the other returns, has only the children, if they have children, has only the pets, if they have pets, has only the four walls, the television, the phone, the computer, the garden, or the 101 small things needing to be done around the house to fall back on. Whereas the one who goes off out to work conveniently leaves all that behind, including his wife or her husband. They go off and see different things, meet different people, and do different things, and the argument of home is all but forgotten about. And when he or she returns home, they might be expecting their wife or their husband to greet them as if all is well again. But the reality is that the one at home has had all day to be thinking things over and over and over again, to be twisting and distorting the original argument out of all proportions. So much so that by the time her husband or his wife comes home, she or he is fully ready for an upgraded version of the previous night's argument. And now it can happen too, though, that the one who has had to remain at home has had all day to forget about the argument, while the one who has been out working has had all day to be thinking things over and over and over again, to be twisting and distorting the original argument out of all proportions. So much so that when they return home, he or she is already arguing from the car in. Better and safer by far it is to accept arguments happen, and that even in times they are seemingly inevitable for one reason or another, such as overtiredness, but that to be ever ready to end them as quickly as possible. For therein lies their secret blessings for the couple, their children, and even their pets. In today's broadcast, I'll be reading some more from Prince Hamlet on the nature of things and the true classic of Southern Taoist fragrance. A reading from Prince Hamlet. Though yet of Hamlet our dear brother's death the memory be green, and that it us be fitted to bear our hearts in grief and our whole kingdom to be contracted in one brow of woe, yet so far her discretion fought with nature that we with wisest sorrow think on him, together with remembrance of ourselves. Therefore our sometime sister, now our queen, the imperial jointress of this warlike state, have we, as 'twere, with a defeated joy, with an auspicious and a drooping eye, with mirth in funeral and with dirge in marriage, in equal scale weighing delight and woe, dole, taken to wife. Nor have we herein barred your better wisdoms, which have freely gone with this affair along. For all our thanks. Now follows that you know young Fortinbras, holding a weak supposal of our worth, or thinking by our late dear brother's death, our state to be disjoint and out of frame, colleagued with the dream of his advantage, he had not failed to pester us with message, importing the surrender of those lands lost by his father, with all bonds of law to our most valiant brother. So much for him. Now for ourself and for this time of meeting, thus much the business is. We have here writ to Norway, uncle of young Fortinbras, who, impotent and bedridden, scarcely hears of this his nephew's purpose, to suppress his further gate herein, in that the levies and lists and full proportions are all made out of his subject. And we here dispatch you, good Cornelius and you, Voltimand, for bearers of this greeting to old Norway, giving you no further personal power to business with the king, more than the scope of these dilated articles will allow. Farewell, and let your haste commend your duty. In that and all things will we show our duty. We doubt it nothing. Heartily farewell. And now, Laertes, what's the news with you? You told us of some suit. What's it, Laertes? You cannot speak of reason to the Dane, and lose your voice. What wast thou beg, Laertes? That shall not be my offer, not thy asking. The head is not more native to the heart, the hand more instrumental to the mouth, than is the throne of Denmark to thy father. What wast thou have, Laertes? My dread lord, your leave and favour to return to France, from whence, though willingly, I came to Denmark to show my duty in your coronation. Yet now I must confess that duty done, my thoughts and wishes bend again toward France, and bow them to your gracious leave and pardon. Have you your father's leave? What says Polonius? He hath, my lord, wrung from me my slow leave by laboursome petition, and at last, upon his will, I sealed my hard consent. I do beseech you, give him leave to go. Take thy fair hour, Laertes, time be thine, and thy best graces spend it at thy will. But now, my cousin Hamlet and my son, a little more than kin and less than kind, how is it that the clouds still hang on you? Not so, my lord. I'm too much in the sun. A reading in continuity from the 1st century BC poem On the Nature of Things by the Roman poet and philosopher Titus Lucretius Carus. A property is that which not at all can be disjointed and severed from a thing without a fatal dissolution. Such weight to the rocks, heat to the fire, and flow to the wide waters, touch to corporal things, intangibility to the viewless void. But state of slavery, pauperhood and wealth, freedom and war and concord, and all else which come and go whilst nature stands the same, we are wont, and rightly, to call accidents. Even time exists not of itself, but sense reads out of things that happened long ago, what presses now, and what shall follow after. No man, we must admit, feels time itself, disjoined from motion and repose of things. Thus, when they say there is the ravishment of Princess Helen, is the siege and sack of Trojan town, look out, they force us not to admit these acts existent by themselves, merely because those races of mankind, of whom these acts were accidents, long since irrevocable age has borne away. For all past actions may be said to be but accidents, in one way of mankind, in another of some region of the world. Add to had been no matter, and no room wherein all things go on. The fire of love, upblown by that fair form, the glowing coal under the Persian Alexander's breast, had ne'er enkindled that renowned strife of savage war, nor had the wooden horse involved in flames old Pergama by Bert at midnight of a brood of the Hellenes. And thus thou canst remark that every act at bottom exists not of itself, nor is as body is, nor has like name with void, but rather of sort more fitly to be called an accident of body and of place wherein all things go on. an interpretation after my own fashioning of some lines from The True Classic of Southern Taoist Fragrance. North 3-star visitor spoke to me, saying, "Immaculate of Era, what stories, what anecdotes, what insights do you bring to this new dawn?" According to the humans, when once they receive their form in the womb, receive their bodily form complete, they move forward with it in life until that form lets go and they are no more. With everything within and without itself, the body, they say, strives to live in harmony. There are times, though, when it does not run in harmony. Howsoever, with finding itself again, it returns to living in harmony. There are those among them who say, their existence is way too short, for no sooner has it begun than it's already quickly approaching its end. For them, existence is somewhat pitiful. Yet for those who know each moment to be years upon years, life is of a sufficiently great length. And there are those among the humans who are constantly complaining that life is all about nothing, nothing but toiling away from dawn to dusk and oftentimes too from dusk to dawn. They claim they can never really see the true fruits of their labours. Everything to them is but immediate, or not at all. And there are those who worry not about such matters, such results for their efforts, but rather enjoy passionately working away honestly and without knowing what the long-term result will be. That long-term for them could well mean several centuries. This would be for them a reasonable baseline. There are those who speak of what they call death, as that which is something final. But what do they know when it comes to life before life, life be life, and life beyond life? To be sure, they would not think in terms of lives, only life. Most, if not all, humans are of the opinion that when the body goes, so goes the self. What do they not know? They know not that life is beautifully enfolded in dark, light, and shadow, and that life is without a beginning or an ending. In a dawn reverie of this new day, meditated I on what an immortal self of mine did say, did lovingly relay, way back in days of long, long, long gone by. O mortal self of mine, when with living in your own realm and time, you will ask yourself, what is it that you are mindful of yourself? What is it that for yourself you care? All right, I will leave it at that for today. Enjoy taking very good care of yourself and those around you. Be ever so grateful for your many blessings. And spare a thought too for peoples living in faraway places, in all different kinds of situations, often very difficult and not at all of their own making. You have been listening to Radio Richard Ireland, on the air globally for about 15 minutes Monday to Friday, and occasionally on the weekends. A transcript of today's broadcast will be forthcoming. It is truly an honor to have your listening. May you be a blessing unto yourself by way of your past, by way of your present, and by way of your future. Slán agus beannacht leat.